From the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome in as we are live here on a Friday on The Drive. Tyler Milner is out but still working. Shout out to Tyler Milner who alerted us as we started the show on the news, breaking news about 5-6 minutes into the show that Brandon Walter is going to be on the IL. And shout out to our trusty executive producer, Tyler Milner, for alerting us on that. But in his place, our guy Colin's in the building. There he is. I love people hit the little salute number. The little salute number.
The quick salute.
That's right on YouTube and Twitch. You were able to see him hit that salute thing right there. You go, YouTube.
I had to do it one more time.
Did it twice. You did it twice. That's all right, man. Having a good time. We're in good hands with our guy Colin from the text line. Blister, piss on that some buck and keep it rolling.
I like it. Yeah, I'm with you, man. You want to drink a beer? And drink a beer and talk a little ball?
Yeah, okay. That's one way. That's one way to handle it.
Put a little super glue on it and let's try it.
A little super glue, yeah. Some super glue. Maybe a little Gorilla Glue. Not too much, but yeah.
Better yet, how about next time that it starts to flare up a little bit, we just yank ourselves out of the game before it gets so bad you get a 15-day IL for a freaking blister.
He was doing it for the H, Clint. He thought he could move through it.
For the H, baby. Yeah. Now, how about we manage our blister issues?
He probably said, "I don't want to go talk to them." There we go. He probably went and YouTubed it before.
15-day IL.
He probably went
and
YouTubed it before he went to their training to the training staff. I mean, of anybody on this team, outside of maybe Jordan, he has to trust the staff the least.
Well, this isn't a staff thing. This is a hey, man. My finger. I mean, I spin it for a living. It's what I do. My finger's blistered up here. I got to come up out. This is not a playoff game. I got to come up out of here and be done. I mean, there's not many things with Lance.
Want to get his work in.
There's not many things with a Major League Baseball pitcher that I can relate to. This is one of them. Like, I mean, I would throw 100 balls a day through long stretches of a season and an off season. And there were times when, yeah, your fingers would get sore. You'd flare up a little bit. Hey, man, manage it and move on. 15-day IL? You kidding me?
Yeah. Well, hopefully it really heals up for him.
The good thing is that there's no doubt he'll be back. The bad thing is that this is something that could flare up in the middle of a playoff run.
I thought you were going to say, the good thing is we know there's no doubt he's going to be back. The bad thing is we know that there's no doubt that he's going to be back.
No, I'm not there with Lance yet. I'm not there yet with Lance. As an Astros fan, I want Lance back. I'm fine with seeing him in the regular season at this point. Blister-free, hopefully.
I'd like to see him over Jason Alexander. Personally, some of you may not. I'd like to see him. Jason, they left him in there to wear that one, didn't they? Just a little bit. 11 good hits. Stay hanging there, man. Hanging there, big dog. You got it? That's what they did there. So, that is the latest. Someone says it, Lance. If you're listening, go to the restroom in your establishment. Go piss on the sun buck and then get on back out.
Oh boy!
I advise you not to do it in front of the Patriots well, there, but just go to the bathroom.
I think our texters got it mixed up. I think you piss on athlete's foot was the gig, not a blister on your
hand.
Why not just try that too?
It'd
probably be a little easier to piss on a blister on your hand.
You can get it good.
Probably burn a little less. Maybe a little messier though.
A little messier. That's all right.
I thought it was always on cuts as well.
Is it cuts as well?
I've never heard the random cuts.
I thought it was blisters. We told
an offensive lineman that one time about athlete's foot and caught him in the shower that day, pissing all over his feet. And I thought, he is dead serious. That big fellow is dead serious. Could you imagine 6'6", 300 in a corner trying to piss on his feet?
Did he have it out dry?
With a light switch? That sucker was – he's trying to hit a big foot with a little gun. It's like, God. Dead serious, dude.
Shout out to my man Steve here on YouTube and Twitch, Clint. He said, I am on vacation in Japan listening to you guys. It's 5:05 a.m. Saturday morning. Shout out to you, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
There you go.
Steve, are you on the back end of a banger in Japan?
I said, are
on
you
a Friday
drunk?
Night,
yeah, I was gonna say.
Are you, did you just wake up and are you going to work? Either way, hey, brother, we appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. Steve. Come on, Doug. Who are you on vacation with? If you are on, if Steve is married, if Steve is on vacation with a with his lady, and you got your ass up at 5:05 a.m. to listen to us on vacation in Japan, I think Courtney might walk out on me. I think Courtney might.
Maybe he's going down to get breakfast and a coffee and take it back, and he's just listening on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Odyssey app. We're great. Yeah, man.
Steve, man. I hope she's good with it.
Man, how did we get to this? Jeez.
That man on vacation said, hey, hold on, baby. I gotta get the drive, baby. It's Friday.
I gotta get the drive, baby.
Damn, that's dedication right there. My man Steve in the building. Said, I'm on vacation and listen to these jokers. That's all good. All right. I think there's a little deeper Cole Popovich conversation. Nick Caley spoke to the media earlier today, and he is one of a few guys, you know, since the decision was made for him to take over from being an assistant to being the lead guy. There's a lot of people been talking about Cole Popovich in a positive light and how much of a change he is. Here is the latest, his OC, Nick Caley, talking about his presence, talking about the things that he's able to do. We'll get that here in a second. Nick Caley talking about Cole Popovich. But as we'll let you hear that, Clint, Cole Popovich has been talked to by D'Amico in a major way. C.J. Stroud multiple times, Nick Caley multiple times. He's been talked up by Titus Howard, has talked about it. Clint, so much so that it's past the version of the place of, hey, this guy is really, really good. You know, sometimes you talk up guys. You've heard Nick, you know, guys talk about Davis Mills is this, Davis Mills is that, or other players. This feels like we've gotten past the stage of just talking up a dude. Here's Nick Caley, the latest in line, talking about Cole Popovich.
Yeah, because I have a lot of respect. I think he's a phenomenal coach. He's really smart. He's an extremely hard worker. He really cares about the guys. He is a mentally and physically tough dude. I mean, look at him. He looks like he could squat a house for sure. But he got a lot of experience with him. Been through a lot of, you know, games with him in the past, dating back to New England, and he's always growing. I mean, he's really always searching to be the best that he can be. He's got a growth mindset, and I'm really thankful that we get to work together again.
Like I said, man, hearing all of the words, this is about our fifth or sixth, and I'm not exaggerating. This is about our fifth or sixth offensive line coach that we've run through in our years here, Clint. And you know, you hear people talk him up and say, hey, man, George Warhoff is going to be this, and Chris Stausser is going to be this, and all this and that. But it is constant here. It's constant before he got here. It's constant from the players. This thing now, to me, feels more than just, like I said, talking up a guy. It feels like there is a real belief that he is going to be, as you call it, one of those difference makers, polos on the sideline.
Yeah, Ron. Look, I think what they're selling with Cole Popovich is significantly more believable than what they're selling with Nick Caley. And I'm not knocking Nick Caley, by the way. I'm just saying the way in which when you start every Nick Caley conversation with the energy and the vibe, and then everything kind of falls flat from there. It seems like it's more difficult to sell Nick, maybe. Whereas when you look at Cole Popovich and the way that Nick just did it there, the way D'Amico's done it, the way Titus has done it, it is very, very believable. It's very matter of fact of like, hey, man, what's different? Well, we're held accountable, right? We're going to be expected to do this. We're working on the basics. This is what the mentality is in the room. This, like, there is, it's very, very believable in how they're selling Cole Popovich. And again, you know, going to practice, watching him coach, he's one of the guys that you can hear coaching from across the field. The messaging, or let's not call it messaging, because I think it's players that are that are just talking about him and answering questions, not necessarily some script that they're reading. It's very believable in what they're saying, and I'll be honest with you, I love what I'm hearing coming out of really, you know, all areas of the organization about Cole Popovich.
Clint, it's not a surprise, really, just because of how much the position group he is coaching, how much people looked at that as the reason of what's holding the Texans back. But you said it. Cole Popovich's name and what people are talking about is coming up as much as the coordinator.
Yeah.
And both of them are new.
Yeah.
At least new to those roles. And I'm not shocked by that because the offensive line was such a problem last year. But it is unusual. It is not usual that the offensive line coach is being talked up this much.
Well, the one thing that I think that we've almost, I'll speak for myself, of how I've viewed it was, almost silly of like, this offensive line is one of the worst in football. You're going to fire the head up, the O-line coach, and then hire the assistant, a guy that was in the room the whole time. And I think from a 30,000 foot view, that sounds silly. But if you start digging into it, now, assuming the guy's a coach, it's worth a damn, right? Which he appears to be.
And we will see, yeah.
There's no quicker fix to the overall problem of poor O-line play. There's no quicker route to a solution and a decision that needs to be made than if you had a guy that was in the room the whole damn time. You want to talk about D'Amico Ryans making a bold move with Laremy Tunsil? I got to believe that Cole Popovich, not saying Cole Popovich walked in there and said, hey, man, Laremy Tunsil needs to get up out of here, but I got to believe that that Cole Popovich has firsthand knowledge of what went on in that room and how it went down and what went down and why it all went down, that I would imagine that would help make major decisions like moving on from one of the best pass-blocking left tackles in the game, right? When you talk about what they're going to do, what they need to do as a unit, there's no quicker route to finding that right answer than hiring a guy that was in the damn room when all the wrong answers were being chosen, right? He knows exactly, you know, how to push the buttons of certain guys. He knows exactly as a unit what they were doing poorly. And I'm talking about from an internal perspective. I'm not talking about turning the film on and going, boy, they can't execute a double team. Like, he knows exactly what's going on inside that room. So assuming he's a good coach, and assuming he's honest in his evaluation and accurate in his evaluation of what was going on as well as the players, if the end game is to arrive at a here's damn it what we need to commit to and what we need to be doing to get better and be the best version of ourselves, Cole Popovich is the quickest route there, right? I mean, a guy that was in the room when it was bad is the quickest route to getting better because he knows exactly what the hell they were doing that wasn't working.
Yeah.
So it is.
No, I'm not gonna lie.
It is interesting.
Let me not get to lying. I am skeptical, still skeptical, of him being in the building and.
Well, we all should.
At no point, him not having any parts of that stuff we saw.
Yep.
Last year, but the more and more you hear, it's not. You're feeling better about the potential of change actually happening.
Well, I'm with you. I'm skeptical of it all, to be honest with you. There's not amount of talking that's going to move me to a place where I'm like, all of a sudden, boy, this is just going to go off. This is going to be gangbusters from week one. I'm skeptical about it all. But I do believe that you can, I can look into Cole Popovich and the being here last year, what he's doing this year, the mechanics into like what he is actually tasked with doing, and say, I could see a guy that's never been a main O-line coach come in here and be a kick-ass O-line coach. The play caller's a different animal, right? Because again, you can create the best playbook you want to. You can put together the best game plan that's ever been put together for the Tennessee Titans or the Jacksonville Jaguars or whoever is on your schedule. If you can't go out there and call plays that make sense with the right timing, if you can't go out there and adjust, If you can't go out there when they're doing everything they can in their power to take away Nico Collins and find a way, damn it, to get Nico Collins the football. Like, if you can't do those things, it doesn't matter how good a tight end coach you are. It doesn't matter how you dig your cleats in the turf and how good you coach the mechanics and technique of a position. If you can't do those above and beyond, like advanced things, then it doesn't matter. Cole Popovich, if he's a good-ass O-line coach, then it's going to make a difference with this football team.
Yeah. Again, as I said, I'm not fully just, head first in. But when you look at some of the changes, like it is clear. Now, we'll see if they execute it, but it is very, very clear the mindset and where he wants them to be, because we're hearing it from everybody. And some of the things that I like is you can see a real change. We talked about it a bit yesterday with like guys like Titus Howard when it comes to leadership and him just seeming to be different than he was previous years. You can see like, hey, man, it don't seem to matter where the hell you was drafted or how much you brought in or how much money you make. It does seem like they are trying to get a look to see who are the top dudes, and it doesn't mean they're going to try to break their neck to try to make something work like a Kenyon Green. So you're starting to see some things that I would think makes you feel better about what he's doing as opposed. Now, obviously, like D'Amico said, we will all know once they hit the field.
That's right.
And hell, Clint, we might know a lot more when we get to practice on Monday and they've got on pads and they're hitting each other for the first time, and we'll see that. But no, right now to me, the way people are talking, you get the feel that this could be a difference maker for them over there. And damn it, they absolutely need that at that position, because that position obviously hurt them so much last year. All right, one of the most interesting players in the league spoke out about his situation. It's a player that the Texans will see twice a year. We'll let you hear what he had to say and discuss him, because he is one of the most interesting players in the NFL. We'll do that coming up next.